Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in our boardroom chat.
Yes, I'm Kathy Duplantis.
And Jesse Duplantis, yeah.
Yes, this is number 204.
That's something, boy. I mean, we're on a roll, son. Praise
God. We are. We're doing it every week since, I think it's March of 2020. I don't think we've missed any.
My Lord, what a blessing of God
that is. I hope you've enjoyed them. We always get comments. I think this is one of our most popular web shows that we do. Yeah. Get more comments.
You want to start out with some of these testimonies or get into our little lesson?
Let's read a few. Lucas says, hello, Jess and Kathy from Brazil.
Brazil.
I love knowing where you're watching from. And Sarah says, hello from Germany. What a blessing to listen to you both. Hugo says, I love you guys, and I'm from Guadalajara, Mexico. Daniel says, let's go, Jesse, from New Zealand.
I like New Zealand.
Yeah, and we'll be going near there to
Very
Australia
close.
in May. Someone from YouTube says, watching from Newfoundland, Canada.
That's where that lobster is, huh?
Really?
No, that's Halifax. That's Nova Scotia.
Are you hungry?
No, but I just thought about it.
And then Sally says, I love watching you teach the Bible. I learned so much from your program. You and Sister Kathy are such a blessing. God bless you both. That's enough for right now.
Let's get
into the Word. Yeah, let's get into the Word.
All right, I want to talk about something the Lord began to deal with me while I was on the treadmill this morning doing my exercise. And I want to go to some very familiar scripture. And so go with me to the book of Romans chapter 4. And I've read this scripture once at least 1,000 times, maybe more. And I live by this quite a lot on these scriptures. And I'm using the Old King James Version. It's Romans chapter 4. We'll start reading with verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. He's talking about Abraham here. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's one of my favorite phrases in my life.
Right.
Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. Now, who's he talking about there? Me.
Yeah.
You're the seed of Abraham.
That's right.
And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So faith gives glory to God when you're strong in it.
Right.
And being fully persuaded that which he had promised, he was able also to perform.
I love that.
Now, how do you get to consider not, stagger not, and be fully persuaded? How do you get to that level in life? People say, well, only the father of faith could do that, and that's Abraham. No. The Bible said you can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth you. What made him stagger not and be fully persuaded? He was willing to consider. It's a very important word. He considered not. He didn't deny that he couldn't have children. He didn't deny that he couldn't have sex. I mean, that was all family, about 100 years. I mean, that's gone. But what I'm saying was he considered what? Not his body. Not what was around him. Mm. You see what I'm saying? Not what people say. What did he consider? Go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. This is what he considered, and it worked. Hallelujah. And I just love this. And it will bless you. Praise the Lord. Let me get to it real quick. My mom.
I can read it for you if you want.
No, I want to read it in King James.
And I'm
I want
in
you
King
to,
James.
Oh, you're in the King James? Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead and read it. No, I got it. I'm here.
You got it.
It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider. Mm-hmm. There it is, right there. Consider what? The apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. He considered the apostle and high priest of his faith, Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate. Now, if you want to have a good Christian life, if you want to develop your faith, develop your hope. Watch this. Develop your body that it doesn't get sick. You got to consider something. Consider what? The apostle and high priest. What Jesus said you could do. By his stripes you were healed. It didn't say by his stripes you were healed only for a certain time. No, it didn't say that at all. It said, consider. When you get to that point where you consider this, you consider not. You consider not what's going around you. You stagger not. And what makes people stagger? People's opinions. Mm-hmm. I mean, people's opinions is like alcohol. It will make you, it'll get you drunk in the wrong way. Mm. You stagger not, and you're fully persuaded. But see, when you consider, you see, you begin to know someone instead of just believe someone. I want to say this, and I've said it many times when I've preached, but I want to say it here on the boardroom chat. I quit believing years and years ago. That's a strong statement, isn't it? And I wanted to start knowing. How do I get past belief? How do I get that? Now unto him was able to do exceedingly abundant of all we can possibly ask or think according to the power that worketh in us by Christ Jesus. See, when I begin to know, you see, all of a sudden things really begin to change in my life, spiritually, physically, and financially. I begin to develop in the spirit realm mm-hmm. instead of always developing my soulless realm, mm-hmm. which is the mind, the will, and the emotion. I begin to receive way more dictate from my spirit than I did by my brain or my soulless realm. And I began to, all of a sudden, my spirit would tell my soul what to do, and my soul would tell my body what to do.
I like that.
You see, and that's how that works.
Now, go ahead and say something. Because when you were talking about how Abraham, when we were in Romans, how he watched God. He patterned his life after God, and he watched a God who calls those things that be not as though they were. That's how God created the universe. He created us, created everything by calling those. He said, light be, and there was no light. So he spoke, right. And things happened. So this
what
is,
did he consider?
He was a spirit, though, see?
Yeah, but what did God consider? You ever wondered about that?
Well, he thought about what he wanted, and he said what he wanted.
He considered his vision.
Exactly.
And when he spoke, his vision became living reality.
Right. I like
Go
that.
Go ahead. Isn't that good?
I like that. So God is a spirit, and we follow him as an example. So we worship him in spirit and truth, of course, but he's the one who called those things that be not as they
Amen.
Were.
He did,
and we follow that example. That's why we're called
Ephesians 5, verse 1, be ye therefore imitators of God.
As dear children.
That's right.
Who walk in love.
And why do you say dear children? Because children are born believers till you teach them the doubt. I probably have said that 1,000 times too. I refuse, and I'm going to say this not in arrogance or cockiness, but confidence and assurance. I refuse to doubt. I have a choice to. But since I have a choice, why should I want to doubt? Why should I want to believe for something I don't want? You've heard me preach that many times.
Yeah.
See, so learn the whole thing is considering. Now, why did I marry Kathy? Why did Kathy ask me to get married? She considered me. And you know what? She thought for a minute I was not going to do this, you know?
But when you first asked me, which
well,
you were the first
was,
one to ask,
I was just talking. I said, would you like to get married?
And I said,
and you said, no.
No.
And I said, fine.
I considered
you know?
Not.
I really wasn't even thinking about it. I just asked her.
But then okay, I started reconsidering that. And
yeah.
I thought, well, you know, that maybe that is a good idea.
And then after a while.
So I said, Jesse, you can ask me to marry you.
That's right. She began.
Again.
She said, she staggered
so he
not.
So did.
She considered. She staggered not.
Here we are talking about this.
And she was fully persuaded.
53 years later.
Almost 54, really, if you think of it. We're getting close.
Not there yet.
But it's pretty close.
It's not, oh, yeah.
3 months away, two or 3 months, and we'll be back for 54 years. See, now watch this. We had many opportunities to fail.
Right.
We decided not to, even when we were sinners.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I never forget, you know, everybody thought we always had money. You know, we got a little money now. We're doing fine. You know, God's blessed. But back then, we didn't have nothing. I was developing a musical career, and you had to take what you could get, you know, in terms of piano bars or anything you could do to try to make a dollar, you know. And a lot of people think we always had jets, and that's just simply not true. I remember that time there we were living in Dallas, and we went on Walnut Hill Lane to the store. And it had macaroni and cheese was on sale. It was 10 cents a box. I remember we bought 22 of them.
How do you remember that?
Because
I cooked it, I know.
I know, but I'll tell you why, because we went there with $3
in pennies. I knew it was a lot of
pennies.
Just all, yeah.
In pennies.
I still like mac and cheese.
Yeah, me too. But we cut, but what happened was I had the Dallas Federation of Musicians Union at pull my con. I wasn't in the union.
You couldn't work in that.
They wouldn't let me.
What we moved there for you to work for.
So I asked if I could join. Yeah, and they said it takes 6 weeks. Now what I'm gonna do for 6 weeks? I mean, you know, that's a pretty long fast.
you worked for about three months there, and then after about three months is when they pulled it.
I mean, boy, there was a lot of quote, little clubs that wanted me to play because I would bring business in and hold the business there, but I couldn't. But when they gave me my quote union card, then I could go back to work. But I've never forgotten that. But yet in the midst of that, I didn't say, well, we're going to just quit and go home. No, I knew what I was supposed to do.
I think you had a little job pulling weeds or something.
I started pulling weeds, man. I mean, I'd do anything to feed Kathy. Because I, you know, to take care of her.
And to feed yourself.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant, to take care of each other.
I think I got a job too.
Yeah, I said, hey, but you ate up your whole check. That was the problem. So I had
to. Still fed Kathy.
She'd get a check maybe of a dollar and a half. I said, wait, what happened to the money? I ate lunch.
Yeah, they had like a little snack counter there.
Eat up the whole check.
And you could put it against your check. I got hungry. Yeah. I remember getting snacks and lunches and breakfast. Oh,
she only weighed 95 pounds.
I didn't know how to cook in those days, so somebody had to cook for me.
She only weighed 95 pounds. She ate like a 1,200-pound horse. I'll tell you what, she could eat, and that was okay.
I still can do that.
And I'm glad she liked macaroni and cheese.
I could put a lot of people under the table.
I mean, she could put down a box of macaroni and cheese just like that, you know. It was amazing. We laugh at it now. It was funny. But we considered each other. That no matter what would happen, we were one.
And we didn't have family that we could write to because they didn't have money. They didn't have anything either.
No, we were actually living in Dallas. All our family lived in the New Orleans area in Houma.
And even if we'd have wrote to them, which we didn't want to do, you know, because we were stepping out on our own.
I don't think they'd have done anything.
They couldn't. They wouldn't. They wrote to us. Your parents wanted money from us.
That's right. Oh, yeah. I mean, just the way it was, you know. But you see, we considered. Now, what are you considering today? Do you consider your sickness or do you consider your healing? When you see your children that are not born again and you're getting depressed, do you consider that more than consider the promise that you have, the promise of your family down to 1,000 generations? What about this? Do you look in your wallet and there's an abundance of lack? Do you consider how much money you don't have instead of considering how to be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in and blessed going out? See my point? And once you do that, then you call those things that be not as though they were.
Right. You can do that once you consider Jesus. There's so many good translations
of that verse in
Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 1, this is the Message Bible. It says, so my dear Christian friends, companions in following this call to the heights, take a good hard look at Jesus. He's the centerpiece of everything we believe.
Glory to God.
Faithful in everything God gave him to do. Isn't that beautiful?
Take a load off.
That's the Message Bible.
And that's right.
The Passion Bible is really, really good on this verse too. It says, and so dear brothers and sisters, you are now made holy and each of you is invited to the feast.
Oh, I love that.
Of your heavenly calling. So fasten your thoughts fully onto Jesus. I like that phrase. Fasten your thoughts fully onto Jesus, whom we embrace as our apostle.
See, that's considering him, Kathy.
Yeah, that's so true. And then I want to see the Amplified was just as good. I think it was I didn't read that one.
Yeah,
the Amplified says, so then, brethren, consecrated and set apart for God, who share in the heavenly calling, thoughtfully and attentively consider Jesus.
I'll show you how powerful considering is. God told Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldees, leave his family. Didn't tell him where he was going.
Right.
Just start walking. Now, can you imagine that, what Sarah thought of that? When he walks up to him and he said, the Lord spoke to me. He did. What did he say? He told for us to leave the Ur of the Chaldees. Where are we going? He didn't say that yet. What do you mean? How can we go somewhere if we don't know where we're going? He said, we're going to walk. We're going to walk by faith. And they just took off across the desert. Watch how much he considered. God gave him the promised land, but he never put his foot in it. Think about that. Isn't that amazing? Yet, he considered not. He staggered not. He was fully persuaded. He was calling those things would be not as though they were, because God said he would go to his seed.
You're right.
Now, watch this. To go all those years and not step in it, to go into that promise. But the promise was already in him, not just on him. or around him. That's done by considering what God said.
Right. Right.
Now, I use that statement, Romans 4:17, all the time. I call those things that be not as though they were. We have many projects here. We got a $20 million project looking at me in the face. And do I have that yet? No, but it's coming. Why? I consider not, I stagger not, I was fully persuaded because God told me to do it. So I call those things would be not as though they were until they are. Do you see my point? See, and that's spiritual, physical, and financial in every area. And a lot of people may not realize this. And when I go out and preach this gospel, I never charge. I never give people expenses. And there's not a thing wrong with a church if they invite you to speak for to pay for your, I don't know, your airplane ticket or your hotel or your food. That's nothing wrong with it. In fact, when Kathy invites someone, we do that here. But me personally, I don't do that unless they force me. What do you mean for? I mean, they say, no, we want to do this. And that's time, it's a pretty good argument right there. You know what I'm saying? I just take care of myself. Why? Because I don't care if I got to go all the way across the world and it costs me all kind of money. It doesn't make any difference. People say, well, you know, you're going to a poor area of the planet. Well, he didn't ask me to pay for it. He asked me to believe for it. You've heard me say that statement. That's the most wonderful statement God ever gave me in my life. That was in 1978. And I'll never forget that. So you see, when you understand, some people say he's got great faith. Well, thank you for saying that. I'll receive that. But what I have done more is consider what I don't see instead of considering what I do see. Faith is the subject of things not seen. That's what I consider.
Right.
Instead of what's around me.
Right.
Now, let me give you an example of that. This ministry here, we have no, not that anybody will ever support it. This thing is done all by faith.
Right.
No one don't have to send nothing. And it takes millions a month to run this place. Millions a month. I found out not too long ago, you know, I pay hospitalization, things of that. Now, some I pay more, some I pay less.
For the staff.
Yeah, for the whole staff. But they kind of round it up. It's like $700 a person. That's every month. Boom, boom, boom. And you know what? I don't mind paying it, but I really don't want my staff to use it. Why? I don't want them sick.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? People say, how can you do that? I don't. God does it through faith. I call those things to be not as though they were. And then yet so many people say, now, Brother Jay, you got to consider this. I will not. Mm-hmm. I've considered the apostle and high priest of my profession or confession, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Just that simple. Now, we don't deny when things happen here. In fact, if Satan tries to do something, say, a fight you're going to get. And we give him the sword of the spirit. It's a double-edged sword. See,
right.
And he can't handle it because he hurts when he gets cut. And we cut him. You see, that's my point. So when people persecute me and say things evil against me, even though they're not true, you know, I mean, I don't need to defend myself. I just tell people, you know, let me make it into everyday vernacular. When President Trump would say fake news, I didn't know too much about that. I thought, but now, buddy, that is so true. People say anything to get any kind of attention. Well, if you want to get God's attention, consider Christ.
That's right.
Consider it. And give your life to Jesus Christ and be born again. I've said it so many times. You don't like the way you was born, try it again. And you considered me to be saved when I was a heathen from hell.
Right.
But you wouldn't turn loose.
Like Abraham, I considered not, I staggered not, and I was fully persuaded. Yeah. I knew it was just a matter of time.
Yeah.
And
you said you put me in the crosshairs.
Put you in the crosshairs. You know, I was supernaturally born again, I believe. God, mm-hmm. I didn't plan to watch Billy Graham. It came on the TV in this little hotel room where, I know this was not back in 1973.
Guess where
in
it was?
May.
Mendota Heights.
Yeah.
There in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah. Actually, was it St.
Paul?
Suburb. On the cross.
Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Right. And so I remember the TV was, I was watching something and then it changed. And I remember rocking, bouncing Jody on the end of the bed. And I didn't want to move because she was asleep, and I didn't want to wake her up. And so she had just fallen off, and so Billy Graham came on. So I continued to watch what was on the TV, and I watched it and listened to it, and the Spirit of God touched my heart. I prayed the prayer, and I was supernaturally born again. And everything switched from then on, because before that point, I had no answers. Now, all of a sudden, I had answers to the problems in my life, which was not that you were a problem, but we didn't know God. I didn't know anything about God and how what was available to me as a believer. So I started reading the Word of God for the first time and totally changed.
You considered Billy's Word about the Word.
Well, yeah. And then they had a Gideon Bible in the hotel room.
Amen.
I started reading it. Of course,
thank God for
I grew
Gideons.
Up Catholic and I knew about Jesus. And I was what they called a good Catholic growing up. Till I met you. Anyway, no offense.
That's right. No.
You don't take offense.
Yeah, talk to the hand.
That's right.
Call away.
So, but I remember little communion, what do you call it? Confirmation. Then we got married in the Catholic Church.
Did you go to confession?
I did. I went to confession.
Did you tell the truth?
Most of the time.
Most of the time.
Till I met you.
What would you blame me?
No, I'm kidding. But the point is, I mean, I faith in God changed my life. And so I understand about Abraham and how this is how he got what he was believing God for. He
Amen.
Listened to God. He left his country, his family, everything
he was
behind.
God.
Why? Because God gave him a vision. God gave him a destiny. And he walked toward that destiny. And you know, you can't fulfill destiny without a force called faith.
Amen.
God had a vision and a dream to build, to have mankind and have this.
To have his chosen
earth,
people.
All of us, right, exactly.
He made him go look at the stars. The man didn't have no kids. And he said, you're going to have children like the stars.
He was teaching him faith. This is how faith operates. Faith looks at the non-existent things and uses a thing, a force, a substance called faith, and then things are created.
Amen.
I turn to Hebrews chapter 11 because that's like the faith chapter.
Right.
And I want to read verse 8 in here because this is talking about what Abraham, because, you know, it starts off about how the men of old had a good report.
Well, every one of that hall of faith considered
great.
God.
Yeah, it talks about Noah, Abel, all these people. But in verse 8, it talks about Abraham, and this is the amplified version of it. It says, urged on by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went forth to a place which he was destined to receive as an inheritance. And he went, although he did not know or trouble his mind about where he was going.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that good? Because he wasn't considering.
Right.
He didn't trouble his mind. So when you consider something, you really trouble it.
He couldn't remember what he saw.
Sometimes there's a point, though, that you're thinking things through, and that's not what we're talking about. There's a thought process. There's a meditating time, and that's healthy and good. But when you're getting over into fear and you're considering and you're troubled by it, that's the opposite of faith.
Right, yeah. And he just considered. You got to understand, he was a heathen. They served images. That's Abraham. But God changed him.
Yeah, he was an idol worshiper.
Oh, yeah.
His family was.
Yeah. I mean, and it's amazing to me how now that we have the 9 gifts, the 9 fruits, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, my Lord, revelation, knowledge, signs and wonders, Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, power. You know, we go, I just don't know what I'm going to do. How can you say such a thing? Because you're going by what you see.
You're considering
instead of going
thing.
By what you believe. You see, and I've said this so many times. This is so simple that you need a good theologian to help you misunderstand it. Because you'll say, I tried that. Trying don't ever get nothing done. Bible says in the book of James, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. You don't want to deceive yourself. You see, you know, can I say something, and I don't mean this to make somebody mad. People have no concept of prosperity whatsoever at all. Most of them don't.
True.
You know, they think, if we just don't suffer, my Lord. And they say money is so bad, yet they all want to retire on it. They work for it. They send their kids to school on it. They buy groceries with it. They clothe their bodies with it.
And you don't
fall in love with it.
Right.
You know, let me show you something. If Kathy fell in love with the money that she bought, whatever this is,
the shirt, she
wouldn't have bought it. Do you understand? This is a good analogy. She'd have said, no, I love my money more than I love this. See how asinine that is? It's just so stupid. You don't fall in love with it, but you got to have money in the economic world. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm talking
about. That's okay for people, other people to have money, but in the church they say, no, you're not supposed to have money. They've been indoctrinated by the devil, basically,
poverty.
That poverty is holy.
Curse.
It's a
total curse.
But the word teaches that poverty is a curse. And so we have to rethink this. We have to educate ourselves in what the Word of God has said.
Amen.
Abraham was blessed. The Bible says that he had silver and gold and cattle.
Right.
And
he
talked about Job. He was the richest man in the East. God put that in there for a reason. We shouldn't be afraid of prosperity or be critical of prosperity, because whatever you criticize, you're not going to have.
Did you notice Abraham never said, "Have you counted my sheep? Do you know how many sheep I got? Have you counted all the gold and the silver I got?" Uh-uh. That's just the byproduct of his faith. And that's what I mean. So if you got a beautiful home, I'm so glad for you. If you're driving a nice car, I'm so glad for you. If you don't have a nice home, maybe you don't have a home, I'm believing God for you to have one. But consider what God says, that he'll supply all, not some, not a little bit, to barely get by, all. You know, every time I go out to dinner with people, and I'm going to say 99.99999% of the time, I pay for the meal because I want to. I want them. And Kathy says, "You order too much stuff. We order a lot of appetizers. By the time we get our entree, we're full." I said, "Well, take entree home or whatever." But I want them to understand all. See, all. You see, that's what I'm saying. But the only way you're going to understand that little word all is to consider the apostle and high priest of your faith, Jesus Christ. Okay, some of you elderly. Okay, now you're getting up in age. What are you going to consider? What are you going to say? "Well, you know, man, now, you know, you don't have too much time left." Why don't you consider that the life that's in your tongue instead of the death they want you to speak in your tongue? When the Bible said death and life's in the power of the tongue, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You see, I honestly believe this, and I mean this from the very depths of my heart. When someone, they call it passed away, he passed away, he or she passed away, they hadn't passed, they've arrived.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? That's how I look at that. I'm not denying death. If Jesus tarries, we're all going to die. But watch this. We're all going to be raised from the dead, sinner and Christian.
Right. You're
coming out the grave. You hear that old song, "Ain't no grave going to hold my body down"? That's a fact, son. But you know, there's a generation that won't see death. Now, some people don't believe that. You know why? They haven't considered the Word of God. They considered the graveyard and the cemetery more than the Word of God. There is a generation that will not see death. And I'm believing it's us, not because I'm afraid to die. Why would I be afraid of something I've never done? Huh? Come on. Now, I mean, I was born again, but I'm talking about a physical death. Why should I be afraid of that when it's never happened? Do you see my point? This is what made this man consider not, stagger not, and was fully persuaded. And I'm going to tell you something. Sarah had a problem with it, too. How can I have a child? Now, watch this. And one time old Abraham said, walks up to God and says, in a sense, and says, "Listen, since I don't have any child, I'm going to use my steward Eliezer, seeing that I have." And the Lord said, "Oh, Abraham, you want to see something?" And that's when he made him look at the stars.
That's true.
That's amazing to me.
What a help that was.
Ooh, man, you know what? You see, God.
Sometimes we need a visual.
Why did God choose Abraham? I'll tell you why. He considered him. "For he will teach his children." I believe that's Genesis 18, 22, 23, something like that. He'll teach his children. You need to do that. And it will minister. That's why God chose him. See what I'm saying? There was no one God could go get that was saved. Because everybody were idol worshipers. But God saw the man's heart. Mm-hmm. I don't judge people by what they do. Sometimes they do things I don't like, but I'm not going to judge them. Because, you see, God's going to judge their heart. Now, who am I? I am not the judge anyway. The Bible said, "Judge not." So I just don't do that. Now, sometimes I've been criticized for that. I say, "Brother Jesse, you need to take care of that." Well, okay. No, God's got to take care of that. See, you consider not, you stagger not, you fully persuade. That's where he got. That's how he got there. And I want you to get there today. I'd like to pray for you right now. Father, in Jesus' name,
thank you, Lord.
Take this simple teaching, yet it's deep with revelation. And Lord, help people to consider you instead of what they're going through.
The problem, right?
The apostle, the high priest.
Jesus.
Lord, I ask, and if they'll do that, they'll have more than enough spiritually, physically, financially to accomplish whatever they want in life. Lord, I thank you for it, and I believe you for it. Lord, I pray for the partners of this ministry
yes.
that help us preach this gospel literally all over the world. You know why they do that? They considered us. They considered the calling you gave me. And I thank you for that. So I call those things would be not as though they were for all our partners.
Thank you, Jesus.
That they're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out, with hundredfold return. I thank you for it. I believe you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for letting us talk to you today. And let me just say this, if you've not a partner and you've been considering become one, we'd love for you to do that. Because see, any financial amount, that's fine. And that's up to you. Now, if you don't want to, then you don't have to, but still watch the programs. See what I'm saying? But I tell you one thing, I'm going to use every dollar you send to get somebody saved. So if you'd like to be a dollar, pound, whatever you want, a Swiss franc, I don't know, euro, all those that are watching all over, whatever your money currency is, if you'd like to become one, you can go to our website, jdm.org, and you can hit a donate button and give that way. You can use PayPal if you choose to do that. You can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one if you'd like to do that. Kathy likes the JDM apps where you can select the giving you want. Or you can do like I do. You can just mail in an old-fashioned donation, you know, and it's just such a blessing. Thank you, partners. Thank you for considering us. There's not a day goes by that me and Kathy don't pray for you. And I mean that sincerely. We believe in you because you believe in God and you believe in us. I say it all the time on my broadcast television. I trust you, you trust me, but we both trust God. And that's what happens, you see. And it's such a blessing. So remember this. The reason why Abraham got where he got, staggered not, fully persuaded, is because he considered the God that spoke to him.
Right.
And you know what? I am his seed. And I do exactly what Father Abraham did. I consider not me.
Yeah. Our own ability.
I stagger not me. Mm-hmm. I am fully persuaded in this.
That's it.
And that's done through study of the Word, believing His Word, and it happens spiritually, physically,
Amen.
And financially.
Amen.
This is Jesse and Kathy saying thank you for watching our boardroom chat. We'll see you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.